Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, and we're reaching you live from Etim Inyan Crescent, Victoria Island, here in Lagos. It's the 27th day of July 2023, and today is the last day President Tinubu would have to submit his minister. At least we can't all wait. And hopefully the Senate, the National Assembly in general, can come together and make this screening thing move very quickly. And I'm also hoping that the president already prepared their list, this list with the portfolios attached to the names on the list. That way we can move very, very fast. Okay. Now that said, it's Thursday. No politics from 8 a.m. on Thursday. We just do health and health only. And what we do on Health Thursday is to educate, enlighten the mind. We don't diagnose and we do not treat on Health Thursday. Today we have a conversation on the need for employers in Nigeria to recognize the existence and reality of mental illnesses in the workplace, mental awareness of their workforce, creating supporting systems for managing employees' mental well-being. That's our focus today. Mental health experts, including clinical psychologists as well as psychiatrists, are saying lack of awareness and intervention, these two are becoming barriers to curbing mental health in the workplace. In the workplace, mental health encompasses all aspects of psychological, emotional, social well-being and how they influence an individual's behavior and productivity at work. As an employer of labor, you want your workforce to meet targets every now and again, but at what price? Especially with the prevailing situation, economic situation in the country, it's very important for us to have this conversation. And joining me on the show this morning is Dr. Tolu Okoigari, Executive Director of the Institute of Counseling in Nigeria. She's popularly called the Fixer. She's one of Africa's foremost professional mental health practitioners. She's a clinical counselor with demonstrated experience in depression treatment, among others. She single-handedly took mental health counseling and psychiatry, or psychotherapy rather, from the backward traditional level to a more professional forefront in this part of the world. Dr. Tolu, welcome and good morning to you.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
How are you?
How am I? I'm happy and maybe a bit distracted, but now I'm okay. Yeah, a few minutes ago something distracted me.
Okay,
but I'm happy and I'm getting over the distraction now.
Okay.
And I'm glad to be here.
Wow, that's a detailed answer.
not the
usual. I'm fine.
If you know me, you know. If you ask me how I'm doing, I have to pause.
Yeah.
And it's a very good one for me because it also helped me to check myself, check the emotions I'm feeling at that present moment. So I have to pause. I'm like, how am I truly? So yeah.
Nice to know. I always learn one or two things anytime we talk. Let's talk about our conversation today. What is mental health in the workplace and how important is this?
Okay, so I'll try and do this as easy as possible so everybody could relate.
Yeah.
And mental health in the workplace is putting mental health into consideration in the workplace. As simple as that, taking care of people's mind in the workplace. So not just taking care of people's body, but their mind in the workplace. So that's a simple definition of mental health in the workplace. How important is it? That's a very deep question. And I have some statistics I would like to read out
please,
for you.
Go on ahead.
According to survey, 45% of employees say that anxiety or depression is hurting their productivity in the office. 45%.
45.
18% say, this is at one point or the other now, but 18% says that anxiety or depression interfere with their work all of the time. 18% all of the time, 45% one time or the other at some point, right? Okay, so I want to give you a few of them. Only 31% of employees will feel very comfortable talking about their mental health with their manager. With 40% will feel uncomfortable to do so. All right? Most people spend, in fact, this is very interesting. This I can explain to you.
Okay.
People spend approximately 60% of their life in their work, right? In the workplace. And 7.5% of loss of productivity is as a result of presenteeism. What that means is 7.5% more than absenteeism. 7.5% loss of productivity higher than in presenteeism
than people that don't come to work.
Absenteeism.
Okay, that's very weird.
It is. Now, mental health is complex. And it's a pity that we don't even talk about it. Isn't it crazy that people are, it's better, it's to, what that research is saying, it's better not to be at work.
Not to come.
Don't even come.
Because you are not productive.
But you are not productive, because you are not productive. But here, we just want to see you, just sit down there so that we know that you are there. All right? I'll give you some more, maybe one or two. It's scary, right? Now, this is a very, you know, I would like to talk about this because it's my area. Now, employee will lose that's not the one. Okay, anyway, let me explain it to you. Averagely, right? Most of these statistics, of course, are in America. So you can just begin to imagine what we are going to have here, where we don't have anything close to them when it comes to mental health.
Right.
Not to talk about mental health in the workplace. Right. Work loss, the loss, the financial loss, productivity loss that is associated with lack of employee that have personal, marital, and relationships. So I said because it's my area, I'll talk about that. In corporate America will lead to $6 billion loss of productivity every year.
Because of the personal issues that they're having.
Because of the personal, especially when it comes to relationship issues. $6 billion every year in corporate America.
Now, all of these things that you have said, where does the employer come in? How can an employer be more attentive, be more aware.
The problem with this is the employer is not even aware of his own problem. You know, when it comes to mental health, it's sad because number one, it's complex. Number two, you can't even see. You can't see. People are dying. You can't see. If somebody is sick, you know that, oh, take a sick leave. But imagine you want to do an interview maybe you just employ someone. And the person walking to you, maybe the first corporate meeting you are having, the person say, I'm sorry, I normally have panic attack when I sit in the midst of crowd. Please, in case that happen, I would like to take like 15 minutes off. Just picture that in a meeting and think of what people are going to say. The employees, they are not even aware of their own problem. They expect what they call work-life balance. There's nothing like that.
There's nothing like work-life balance.
There's nothing like that.
I hear that a lot.
It's like they are saying remove your mind when you are coming to work. It's not possible. It's like pull a part of you out when you have suicidal ideation. It sits with you in front of your computer. It doesn't stay. You don't hang it at the gate.
But I hear even people tell themselves that, yeah, I maintain a good work-life balance. You know, when I leave work, I do this, I do that.
No, because people are not aware. If people are genuinely aware and they say themselves, they will know that I could do better than what I'm doing now. They will earn more themselves. They will be happier. In fact, employees employers who take the mental health of their employees seriously have employees who are 2 times happier with their job. And that is the beauty of work. The beauty is you. Anyway, we don't talk about that in Nigeria. We just want to make money.
Just want to
work. You know, loving what you do, enjoying what you do. Not because you are waiting for the paycheck, not because enjoying it. When there is a mental health culture in the workplace, people enjoy. So you don't need to push them. You don't need to give them deadline. They love it. So you have less work to do. So what should the employers do? To your question, they need to even be aware. That's a very good place to start from. Be aware that there is something like this. We can't. Do you know how many years we've been talking about HR, HMO? Now, anyway, HMO is popular now, but from over the years, we've been talking about take care of their cars, make sure their accommodation. You know, you want to take loan for building, for cars. You want to go to the hospital. Who is talking about a therapy room in the office? Every office should have a room. How many employees can, whatever they are dealing with, even with your level of awareness, and say, Oga Sheriff, good morning. It be like say, I won't kill myself. In fact, if not because maybe of your level of understanding, well, in a lot of cases, you tell somebody that, people will just say, all of us won't die for this country. You know,
they will turn it to something else, and people will laugh over it.
And then they will start laughing over it,
right?
So the first thing that I think employees should do, let me just put it together, is number one, they should be aware.
Right.
They themselves.
The employers of
labor. The employers themselves, they should be aware. Number two, they should begin to understand what is mental health. They need to be aware of themselves and then understand mental health. Because, you see, we could talk about this thing for eternity. If there is no deep understanding, you won't get it. You see, most of the time, at the Institute of Counseling, right, we send a lot of proposals to companies. We will tell you at the beginning of the year, we have a particular training that we normally do. We'll do it for you for free. They don't even get what you are talking about. Even when you come to do presentation, explain, they're like, we do EAP now. This is not EAP. I'm telling you, it's different. You know, we do EAP now, we do all of that. But by the time, a few of them that calls us in, and by the time we talk to them, we normally have like maybe 2 hours training. You see, when they are walking out of that training, when they are walking out, you see, you see this, how are you, that I normally do.
Yeah.
When we go for training, that's where I normally start from. I just ask them, I walk up to you and I ask you genuinely, how are you? So I could walk up to like 10 people at the different angles of the room and ask them, walk close to you and genuinely ask you, how are you? I'm fine. Sometimes I'm like, are you sure? I'm fine. When we are done, when I'm at the middle of that training, I will ask again, how are you? Everybody will be quiet. It has never changed in every training that we've gone for. You know, because when you now expose them to it, they will now say, I'm not well. I now know I'm not feeling fine. They don't even know in a lot of cases, because in this, our environment, culture is also a very big problem. Majority of our mental health issues are rooted in our culture. So this sense of nobody must know I have a problem, I'm a strong man, I'm a strong woman, people cannot, or you can't share your problem with people. And of course, a lot of people will also not understand if you share. So it's a culture, training. Because if we are talking about it now, a lot of people, it's not, you know, the way the mind works, you can't just wake up and change somebody's mindset. In fact, I normally say that people don't change as adults unless they make up their mind to change. And they will never make up their mind to change, to me, until they come to therapy. Because in therapy, what we do, in conclusion, is what we call cognitive reconditioning. We just open you up to why you are acting the way you do. As an adult, then you can begin to wait. Why am I doing this? Is it even right? Is it even okay? Now, so the same thing with mental health. You need to open their mind. So they will start seeing it differently until then. So a lot of training, culture. So when you do that training, everybody carry that culture. You know, they begin to behave, they process. If they see somebody that is sitting down, the way they will have passed, they will look differently. They will feel concerned because of that awareness. So that's cultural of awareness, which I think can only be done through training, has to be spread across. So the employer should be aware, should train, should even understand mental health himself or herself, and then train the staff to also have an understanding, cultivate a culture of mental health culture, policies to support mental health in the workplace, and again, have, if possible, a particular office that people, we do that for some organizations. They just create, and let me shock you, maybe it won't shock you. In some of the organizations we partner with, we will, if they create the, from experience, we just tell them, create the therapy room in a corner where people will not see when they are coming in. Because if you create that therapy room in a place, people will not come. Because they feel like, people will think I'm mad. Mental health is no madness. How else do we even have to talk about that? Yeah. Right? So have that. Let people be free. Make it something that people can easily talk about. It's not so easy, especially in this part of the world, to talk about what people, you know, are dealing with. So basically, they partner with organizations who can, where you can, if you can't have an office, send them to where they can just go and talk. How many, and then train your HR department. Train them in basic counseling skills, basic therapeutic interventions that they can give. When we train people, we even train them with what we call personal interventions, things that you can do for yourself. Number one,
I was going to come there, but go on.
Yeah, okay. How you can recognize that you have something is wrong with me.
Personally,
on your own. You just feel like, you know, majority of us, we just wake up and then we just move on. If I wake up and if I get to work and I'm acting somehow, I will pause. What's wrong? What's wrong? Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? I will trace it back. That level of awareness is not so common. Majority of us, we just move on. Right? So when people get trained on mental health, when that awareness, you know, when you wake up that part of their brain, they begin to like, what's wrong? You know,
they pay more attention to themselves.
And when they do that, there are certain skills that we can give them that they can even use for themselves without even talking to a therapist.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So let's take one or two calls before we head out for our first break this hour. Lagos, there you go. If you're an employer of labor, an employee, you've done something in terms of mental health for your employees, or you're an employee, you're aware, you're self-aware about your mental health. We'd like to hear from you this morning. Health Thursday, and we're looking at workplace and mental health. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190 for the ladies. Now, if you can't get through to the male line, please, everybody can please call the female line, which is 01465-7190 for you to be a part of our conversation this morning. If you're watching online, feel free to let me know what you think on our live stream on Facebook and on YouTube. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3 and YouTube is Nigeria Info 99.3 as well. Feel free to call us on those. For WhatsApp, WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. That is 0809-597-5805. Dr. Tolu, quickly, I have a question here on WhatsApp, and the person says, is it right for an organization that has up to 20 staff refusing to give HMO to their staff? But let me modify this question. My question is, when organizations provide HMOs, that's platform for their workers, you hardly see in anybody subscribe to mental health services. Is this part of self-awareness as well?
Self-awareness, one, stigmatization. People are thinking I'm going to lose my job if they found out that, this is wrong with me. Nobody is going to talk to me. I might lose my job. People might not want to be my friend. They might not give me... See, I've had clients in different occasions where... Because let me use this as an example. It's a very common scenario that I've seen.
Do you want to wait for me, please?
Okay, please.
We need to step out now, Lagos. We'll be right back. Stay with us, please. We'll be back. Welcome back to Health Thursday here on Nigeria Info 99.3. Dr. Tolu, the fixer, is here. And we're talking about workplace and mental health. And we've been having this conversation. We started this conversation at 8 o'clock. It's been really interesting. So, before the break, you were talking about, you wanted to explain something.
Yeah, I was talking about the fact that over the years, I've had clients who are maybe working in organizations where they were due for promotion, meant to be promoted, and they are effective and valuable, important employees that organizations actually need them. They need them. They need to take them to places where they could have more responsibilities because they are good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But they are not able to do that because they are single. The men are single.
Mm.
The women are single as well. So they are feeling like, oh, this one does not, I don't know what
the mindset,
HR is using or the organization is using to judge that. But the area I'm coming from is when you see somebody like this, 30, 40, 50, a lot of organizations are not even taking note of the fact that something must be wrong with this person.
Hmm.
Do you want to get married? Do they want to get married? Yes, a lot of them, almost 100% of them, yes, because they even know the implication on their job, on their financial capacity, because if they get more responsibility, they will make more money, right? So, but they couldn't. So you're not looking, is this person having low self-esteem? Is this person having sexual orientation issue? Is this person having gender identity issues? Is this person going through some PTSD? But because the person look normal, do you know, people need to begin to pay attention to matured single in their workplace. And these people are very effective. They are good at what they do. But you are not giving them, you're not promoting them because you feel something is wrong. And you're not doing anything about what is wrong as long as they are not physically sick.
As long as they are productive.
They are not even physically sick.
Mm.
They could be more productive. You could give them higher responsibilities, but you will not. So why not deal with the issue? So at the end of the day, it comes back to you. You help them to deal with that issue.
Mm.
You give them more responsibility and the organization become more productive. Employers need to know that when you don't take care of your employees' mental health, what happened to you is you are going to be losing money. You are going to be losing money. It's just like, you know,
even when you're making profit, it doesn't mean that you're not losing money.
Yes, you could be making profit. You could, let's say, oh, our base is 20 million per month and the person is doing the 20 million. Remember what I said, that employee presenteeism. Presenteeism leads to 7.5% higher loss of productivity than absenteeism. So you see, people can give you more when they love their job. You don't need to push them. So if your base is 20 million, this person have capacity to give 40. But it's just giving you the 20 million because that's what you want. But if you take care of this person's mental health, you could get 40 million.
Welcome back. So Dr. Zulu, please land on your train of thought earlier. Yeah, please go on.
Okay, so what was that? We're talking
like
about
if employers take care of more, they will make more money.
Yes, it's for their own good. It they are going to save money even from sick leave.
Mm.
People will take less sick leave. They will save money even from physical health problem because a lot of physical health problem that they are spending money on is as a result of unresolved mental health issues. So they need to begin to understand that if they don't take care of their employees' mental, it's going to degenerate in a lot of cases. People will move to not feeling, I don't know how I'm feeling, I just feel unhappy. They will begin to move to depression, and they move from mild depression, they move to clinical depression. And all of this, they will not show you at work, but it will be reflecting in their productivity. And in a lot of cases, employees lose good employers, employers lose good employees, people that are very productive because they are not taking care of their mental health. I'll give you a scenario. Two people, maybe they lost their parent, for example, in two different offices. One person is coming back to work and the person is saying, the boss is saying, I think you need to come back to work. We miss you. It will help you, you know, to get over your the grief and all of that. Just come back to work. And the person is saying, I think I need like 3 days, you know. No, like we need you. You know, the boss just said his own, and then the person came back to work and the person is struggling. And you notice that the person is struggling. Your mind is not even going to the fact that, there is a problem. And the other one, in another organization, the person is saying, I think I know. Oh, you said, no, take all the time you can. Maybe you do like 2 weeks. You need therapy. You need someone to talk to. When the person comes back, the person becomes better. So in a lot of cases, employers are losing productive employees, brilliant ones, because they are not taking care of their mental health.
How can employers now spot these employees? Because you know why I'm asking? employees, well, Nigerians generally, we know how to mask our feelings. Mm-hmm. You would not know that we're going through anything unless they get close to you or they feel comfortable sharing. That's when you get to know. Mm. But as an employer, some rarely see their employees. They just move from their own private elevator to their office, and from there they move. Nobody sees them. Mm. If a guy comes to the floor, you know that something is wrong. That's when they get to see Oga. Oga, they hardly see him or her. Mm. You know, but then how can Oga start spotting these things before things degenerate too?
That's even a problem. You don't see Oga. So how will Oga even know when you don't see Oga?
Uh-huh.
That's a big problem. So I think even if the Oga kwata kwata doesn't know, there are people,
the line managers,
you know, you're like line managers, HR department. Mm. HR should be a place. It's difficult. That's why people need to train their HR department with basic counseling skills, right? So that they can even cite all of these things, one. Mm. And again, if it's difficult for people to walk into HR and say, I think I'm depressed.
Mm.
It's difficult. But if there are maybe a kind of organizational culture awareness, they just did something, and then maybe after doing something, maybe a training or something, and then they send a circular to them that, you know, HR has been trained now, so if you want to talk to them, it's not business as usual. That could give a little bit of relief and the confidence in them working to the HR department. So line managers, the HR, they need to understand that it's not business as usual. It cannot just be about buy car, do the financial support. It has to be about support for the mental health. So line managers, those are the ones that should be, if the Oga at the top is not aware. That's one. Number two, another thing they could do is create that culture. If you create that culture, people, employees will begin to see. When people are aware mentally, they see differently, they hear differently, and they feel differently. So they can pick what other people are not picking, what they will ordinarily not pick, because you have opened up their brain to the fact that there could be problem. They will begin to see. So people need to be trained so that employees, colleagues, could notice, even if Oga is not able to notice. Good. Notice the body language.
Good.
Notice
Good.
Interaction with other people. Mm. Notice the facial expression. Notice the way the person communicates. Notice if the person is becoming angry unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Becoming irritated unnecessarily. Notice if their pattern in the office is changing. Maybe the person, after coming in from the gate, the person walk in and say, maybe the person that, hey, what's up, good morning, the person just come in and then walk to the toilet every morning, and then you are, what's going on? So ordinarily people won't pick that, but when they are aware, they begin to see. So basically, and of course, there's a need for them. There's a need to have, I kept saying this, every organization should have a therapy room where they have, even if it's not the HR, a visiting therapist whom people can just feel like, I don't even know how my body is doing me today. I feel sad. I feel lonely. I feel depressed. Or something happened. A lot of things are happening to people on their way to
That's
work.
That's right.
A lot of people are
That's
happening.
Right.
A lot of things are happening to people at home. I just told you that when you say your marriage is work, life is different. In corporate America, $60 billion per year as a result of divorce, relationship issues, that is not even your business. You know, you are losing money indirectly. So if you can cite all of this, and people can just walk into that place and say, I just want to talk. Sometimes they just want to talk.
Ayamide Paul on Twitter says, this mental health issue isn't being talked about enough. I work in a 7-story building whose electricity isn't functioning at the moment. Generator isn't working as well. No elevator, no water in the restroom. Yet we are expected to show up every day. And that leads me to that question. The working environment itself. The role the employers need to play in making sure that the workspace, the work environment, also does not contribute to what people are going through in their head. How important is this?
Very important. You know, we say we are African, we have thick skin. There's nothing like that. You have brain, you have neurons, you have hormones. These things are going to affect you, right? So employers should just be aware. You see, when you are aware, sometimes all you need to even do is to show empathy. Not that you just neglect and feel like everybody go there, all right. No, show a bit of empathy. Tell them, in fact, sometimes when you, even a mail, do a mail to everybody. I understand things are not so good now. And I just want you to know that I understand what, I might not know what you are going through, but I know that things are not the way they are supposed to be. I care about you and we are working on it. That alone could make some people to feel, hey, it's not his fault, you know.
Yeah.
That could even solve some of the agitation or anxiety or sadness. You know, people are walking into work and they are sad. And then, but when you show a bit of empathy, a bit of concern, even if you can't change the situation at that moment, the fact that they know that you are in it with them, that could even give them a sense of...
I feel you've answered my next question, but I'll ask it anyway. A lot of people are going through so many things right now because they are having to pay more to get to work and back from work. Most employers have refused to... Not that they have refused, but then they have not... most of them have not added to people's salaries, no special allowances for transport, no provision for transport anywhere. But people are going through a lot. People are sad. People are trekking, Dr. Tolu. Have you seen the videos? People are trekking.
It's crazy.
Now, what role should employers play at this point? What can employers do at this point?
I don't have a perfect life, but I will use just this simple example. One of my staff, I invited, normally we work Monday to Saturday.
Yeah.
And I invited her yesterday and she has been saying, oh, this Saturday thing, the money. So I'm like, okay, we do something. If you are coming on Friday, you are not going to come on Saturday. If you are coming on Saturday, you are not going to come on Friday. And she was like, fair enough. That's what she said. She said, fair enough. She now said, can something be done about my salary too? That was what she told me. And I'm like, not for now. The same way you are feeling it at a personal level is the same way we are also feeling it at the organizational level. There are certain things that we are supposed to have done this year. This and this and this are the things that give us money. This year, we have not even been able to do any of them. She was like, oh, I didn't know. I mean, she's the front desk. I'm like, oh, yeah, but that's the reality. And then when she was leaving my office, she felt like, oh, okay. You know, there's a level of...
She understands your position.
She knows what is going on. So that brings me back to the fact that you need to make them understand as well. Yeah. And then another thing you could do is... there are a lot of things that... A lot of mood boosting thing, interventions that people can use in the workplace. Take 30 minutes off to dance. I know that people don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
But we are doing it. We are partnering. The Institute is partnering with organizations to do that. They take 30 minutes to dance and then everybody, when they are leaving that place, you see that, hey, bro, you know, they are talking. Their mood is, you know, lifted. And then you can do a bit of maybe meditation, mindfulness, those are things that you could do while seated. These are training. So training could help. Or I know that people will say training when I never chop, but training on mental health. See, in a lot of cases, it is not. Do you know that a certain research shows that people who have stable mental health are happier even when they are poor? Right? So, but we have attached a lot of importance to money because we need money to help our mental health. And as much as money is important,
we rely on money for our happiness.
Need money to be, and money will not make you happy.
Hmm.
People won't understand that. So the point is, employees could pay attention.
Right.
Just show that you know that something is going on. Right. I understand that something is going on. And then employee could, if there are things you could do, if you have spaces where people can sleep in your office, where they can, if you can create like one or two rooms that they don't need to go through all those stress of going and coming back. If people are comfortable in staying back at the office, you could do that. And if there's anything you could do about the salary, you can also help as well. But I think most importantly, make them understand and show empathy. Validate their feelings. Understand. Let them know that it's okay to feel what you are feeling. Not that are you the only one. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Dr. Tolu, we have to go now. Let's have people reach out to you because our telephone lines are down this morning. Mm-hmm. That's why we couldn't get calls in. But how can people reach out to you if they'd like to ask a few questions?
How can they reach out to me? What should I drop now? My phone number. So I can drop two things, phone number, and then they can visit the Institute website. So yeah. We have a contact form on the Institute where they can contact us, www.instituteofcounseling.org.
Okay.
All right. And then my number is 081-845-75377. Because that's the only number, and my husband's number that I know of. So I will repeat that number. 081-845-75377.
Dr. Tolu Okwegare, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Always a pleasure. I love being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dr. Tolu is Executive Director of the Institute of Counseling in Nigeria. She also has a show on Nigeria Info Saturday night at 10 p.m. You don't want to miss it for anything. It's called Intimacy Clinic. And Dr. Tolu is there to talk you through your relationship, whatever that you talk about.
Why don't you just say it?
Thank you again for coming.
Thank you for having me.
I am Sharif Quadri. Many thanks to Zainab who produced the show. We're back tomorrow morning at 5 for Open Mic Friday. Daily Digest with Jimmy Lisu is next. Good morning to you.